I'm just going to be brave and not afraid and say this. To be filled with the Spirit, they speak in other tongues.
What was that again?
To be filled with the Spirit, you speak in other tongues. Well, let me just do, I'm sorry, so sorry that that happened to you. And that's not the only tale to be told. That's not the last story. And many have been offended by outward ignorance. Exactly. I'll just put it like that. It's just ignorance. And that's not the Holy Spirit. But let me just say one thing, and don't get it mixed up with the tongues. That's for an interpretation in the church. Now, that's when someone speaks, that interrupts the service. I say that interrupt in the context that I'm talking about, that they stop the service and speak out in a tongue. And I don't, this is not a lesson on the Holy Spirit, but I want to just say, since we're in it, I want to say it. That is to be interpreted.
Right.
But now there is a prayer language that you have that you use all day and every day in the closet of prayer. And that does, no interpretation. You're interpreted to yourself. I think you know what you're praying. You're interceding for something, somebody, or you're just giving praise to God in an unknown tongue. And there's no interpretation of that. Don't need an interpretation for that. So don't get the things mixed up, those two. And there's not, but now that's good Baptist. So, but that's okay. So you just, that's all I want to say about that. But we're not too far from fear. So don't fear the Holy Spirit in any way. Why do I pray in tongues? Because I need to be lifted up. And every time I pray in tongues, I'm lifted up. As Jude 20 tells you. Let's just turn that right quick over here. If you have your Bibles, you need to know this little scripture. Jude, just before Revelation. And let's see. But dear friends, remember what the apostle, I'm starting at verse 17. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you. You follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love so as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. So you can't pray in an unknown tongue without being built up. As you're building an edifice, you're built up with the Holy Spirit. Well, praise God for the Holy Spirit. And for the day that he came, and he is the promise, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So I'm waiting for prophecy among us to come forth. You can prophesy, I can prophesy. If when you feel the Holy Spirit urging you to say something, a word of encouragement, a word of doctrine, a word of rebuke, yield to the Spirit and give it because it's going to encourage someone. Well, now you can have Pastor Jeremy or somebody or Talia to come over and correct me on all of this. So that's my story. But Nicole, I just wanted to encourage you and tell you, were you afraid to pray out loud? Yes. But she did. And so next time, you won't be afraid. So you just know we're just brothers and sisters, and you just talk to God, and are you thankful for him to be in our midst? You ask him to be here. You ask him to help us, and amen. You know, that's just it's just that simple. So don't be afraid to pray out loud. Bonnie, you should pray out loud, shouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Why? Why should you pray out loud? The disciples said, they didn't say, teach us how to lay hands on the sick. And they said, teach us to pray. Why did they say that?
They wanted to be effective. They wanted to know what they were, how to talk to God.
They heard Jesus pray.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't know how.
And they saw that he departed himself to go up to the mountain and pray. And they heard him pray, and he gave them a prayer. He said, you know, our Father, which art in heaven. And so the disciples said, teach us to pray like you pray. There's power in prayer.
Amen.
Now, is that just meditating? If you really wanted someone to pray for you, how would you want them to pray? You want them to meditate for a minute? I think you'd want them to let me hear you pray. And you pray in Jesus' name, heal him or whatever, or save him, whatever. I believe that you'd be wanting somebody to pray in earnest. All right, now we're talking about fear, so we're not far off of our subject. So you're into week seven, and you have gone through a growth track 1-2. All of you gone through 1-2? And now you're about halfway through here, aren't you?
We're almost
through here with Grow Track 3. Well, I hope and I can be assured, I think, that you are braver and stronger Christian now than you were when you started in Starting Point. So, and I just want to, I'm so glad that you're here in Starting Point tonight and into this Grow Track number 3. So, it's just my privilege to be here with you. If you don't know who I am, I'm Ann Lewis, and I wish I knew all of you by name. So, I know these 3, 4, 5, but I would love to know the rest of you and be able to call you by your first name. I know you're familiar, but that's as far as it goes. We're now in this section 3 of Grow. We're going to grow some more in this Grow Track 3. And if you go to Encounter, you're going to grow some more. Oh, that is, I hope that you will go through Encounter. But it's a progression when we grow, and I still want to grow. I want to grow in my knowledge, grow to know God better, know to pray more, know how to pray more, praying in the Spirit, knowing how to pray in wisdom, and pray in knowledge, that all of those things that we need to grow in the favor of the Lord. So it's God intends us to grow after we say that prayer, inviting him into our heart, then it's not the that's not the end of it. From that point on, we are to grow and seek to grow and find out things that you're starting on a brand new walk, and things are going to be different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and you've got a new walk. Old things are gradually going to drop off of you, right? As you grow in the Lord, as you've grown from Grow Track 1, 2, and 3, and hopefully in your prayer life and in the study of the Word, things that you used to do last year, they're dropping off if you don't have any more desire to do them. That's growing in the Lord. And so I've walked with the Lord for a long, long time, and I still have that desire. If you don't have a desire to grow, then you're going to die. Yeah. Things that not growing, they're going to die. You either grow or you die, and you don't stay in the same place. But I'm glad that you're here in this session of Grow Track 3, because I know that you are growing. Grow in God. Surrender to fear? No, we're gonna surrender to get away from fear. We're not gonna live by fear. We're gonna live by faith, right? And this is a time when we've got to. What does it mean to surrender? Give me some synonyms for.
To give over.
Give up. Give over. Give in.
Give up.
Give up.
I have some will.
Yield. Submit. Abandon. Back out. Discontinue.
Quit.
That's it. Surrender. You just give up. And if a police comes in and sticks his gun in your back, what's going to happen? What does this mean? If you're surrendering to God's will, it should be this: emptying yourself of everything and yielding to God.
Amen.
Whatever you want, God, I yield my everything. and you grow in that, that becomes easier. Do you lift your hands to pray? That's yielding. And it's very hard to, at first. You might get them up about like this. Oh, good Baptist?
I was going to say, especially if we're Baptists.
Yeah. Get those hands up.
You got them down now, huh?
Yielding yourself to God. Yes, but that's yielding is the name of the game. Actually, it's yielding to God. Fear. What is fear? Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. So, you know, we what are things that we've, there are, it's an emotion, and it is, what is that? Well, just skip that. I'll come back to that thought. But fear is an alert for things, for a situation that's about to happen. Feel something that's about to happen. Don't know about tomorrow. Fear can grip us. We can be overwhelmed with fear. And I hope that none of you are overwhelmed to the point that you can't sleep or anything like that with the situation that's going on, or whether it bothers your sleep in the days that we're living in because of COVID and because of the election coming up and all of this. If you watch the TV very much, you can be overwhelmed. It's just the same thing over and over. Everybody's got their opinion of what's going to happen, and you've got this one that can tell you what this is going to happen, and this is going to tell you what will happen if this happens. And so I know it is a fearful day to live in, but we cannot be lived by fear. We cannot let it grip our hearts. We need to go by faith and not by fear. Fear, F-E-A-R, is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. Isn't that true? Everything that you are fearing, you just feel like it's very real. There's no true threat or immediate physical danger, no threat of a loss of someone or something dear to us, actually nothing there at all. But we fear something that's going to happen, and it usually never happens.
Usually
never happens. The Bible teaches that fear is both an, this is what I'm saying, emotion or a spirit. There is an emotion of fear that we know to fear. We know to fear to get out here on the loop and all the traffic. That's a natural fear, but there is an emotion of fear that's from the devil, and we need to know the difference. So is fear from God or the devil? And you must decide, is this fear from God or is this fear from the devil?
Because there is a godly fear, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, there is a godly fear.
There is a godly fear.
He warns you if someone's going to hit you with a hammer, you know what I mean, or whatever, or if someone's going to shoot you, you know what I mean? There is, your body goes into a fear mode, you know, which is, he gave us that to know, but yet.
Yes. There is that natural fear. That's a God fear. God gave us that. But there is a fear that the devil puts on. And when every situation, we've got to know the difference. Is this from God?
Well,
and if
it comes from an untruth.
Yeah. Well, oh yes.
That's where that fear becomes so overwhelming. Is because you believed something that was not of him.
Yes. Sure.
When I found out a year and a half ago that I had prostate cancer, the enemy immediately started to put, oh, you're going to die. You know, what will you do? That's, I mean, just thinking. I mean, what am I going to do? And thank God for the body of believers. We prayed through that during class. And, you know, and when I laid my head down, 18-month checkout, which, by the way, came out beautifully.
Yay.
That thought, the enemy still puts that thought, what if it comes back higher, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just, and that's the kind of fear that you know that's not a God. You know, that's not a God.
I'm sure that you've heard this scripture on television a lot of times, but 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So there is that fear, that's a natural fear,
yep.
But is that spirit of fear that's from the devil? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, but a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. So the phrase fear not is used at least 80 times in the Bible, which means God knows the enemy would try to make us fearful. And that's his favorite weapon that he uses on every one of God's children is fear. Because it's within the world that we're living in. But God gives us a spirit of power through the Holy Spirit. And he gives us a spirit of a strong mind. He gives us this wonderful mind that we have, and let that mind be turned to God. I think I had some scriptures here that I would really like to read. How many Bibles do we have? We have several Bibles, all right? Let's read these scriptures then right quick. Let's start here. Butch, you don't have one, but Tina has one. Isaiah 41 and 10 through 16. Bonnie has one. Psalms 4. Oh, if you have your phone,
yeah.
Psalms 46, 1 through 3. And Psalm 118, 6 through 17. And Mark 4, 39 through 41. And Psalm 56, 3. And the table over there, who has a phone? Okay. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. And let's see, we've got some more.
What did you tell me was my mark? I'm sorry. I was looking up something and I thought you were giving a.
Okay, well, I had Psalm 46, 1 through 3.
I got that.
Psalm 118, 6 through 17. Mark 4, 39 through 41. Is that you? Psalm 56, 3. 1 Peter 5, 6 through and 7. Now, the table over here, Colossians 3. 15, and John 14, 27, and Psalm 23. John 14, 27, was that yours? That's okay. John. No, John 4, chapter 14, verse 27. Okay, let's start Isaiah 41, 10 through 16. Listen up with these scriptures. They are so, so good about fear. Do we fear? No, we don't fear. Psalm 46. 46, 1 through 3. Okay, Butch is going to read for us.
Bellows down, Nebo stoops low. Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about to burdensome.
That's not 46.
It is.
Psalm 46.
Oh, Psalm.
You said Isaiah.
Okay, I have Psalms 46. I don't
know. Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
She said Isaiah 41 is what I thought she said.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure.
Isaiah 41.
Oh, okay.
Is that where you're? Okay.
Yeah,
is that where you're?
Yeah. That was
41. Okay.
41. What was it?
41.
All right. Isaiah 41, 10 through 16.
10 through 16? Right. I'll try it again.
I'm sorry.
I was doing pretty good, too. So do not fear, for I am with you.
Yes.
Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob, O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel.
All right. I will help you. I will strengthen you. All right. Let's have Psalm 46, 1 through 3.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
We just won't fear. We just won't fear.
That's right.
All right, Psalm 118, 6 through 17. Hallelujah. I hope you heard all of that. Wonderful words. What was that scripture again, about three verses up? The tents of the rejoicing in the tents of the righteous.
The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous.
It's in my house. It's in my tent. Hallelujah. Mark 4, 39 through 41.
And he got up and sternly rebuked the wind and the sea. Hush, be still. And the wind died down, as if it had grown weary. And there was at once a great calm of perfect peacefulness. Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith and confidence in me? They were filled with great fear and said to each other, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Oh. The winds and the sea obey him. Yeah. And he says, peace. Mm-hmm. Be still. All right.
I like what you said, though, about the hush. I like that interpretation.
Because I can just see God going,
yeah.
Hush.
Yeah.
Just
no
his
more.
Hand. Just his hand.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what he wants to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we're overwhelmed with fear, he just... And I tell you, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
That's right.
you know, if we can just, if we fear so overwhelmed and so bound up and I can't move and I'm bawling and squalling or you know, I can't sleep, if you can make yourself pray.
Yes.
But isn't that the hardest time to pray?
Sing.
You sing?
When I can't pray, I just start singing.
Well, sing to God. Yes, sing to God. He loves it. He loves it. Oh, and we all, why do we struggle with everything when we could pray and take it to God in prayer and he just vanishes all of it? and a wonderful, wonderful peace can come into our hearts with that. Oh, can I tell you about the peace of God and the comfort of God? Oh, wonderful. Psalm 56:3.
Is it just 3 or 3 and 4?
Do 3 and 4.
Because it seems to me like 4 just ties in.
All right, do it.
Okay. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Amen.
All right. What's the worst thing that can happen to me?
Send me
home.
What? Send me
home.
I'll go home.
Yep.
I'll kill you. That's not
read that first verse again. First verse.
When I'm afraid. I put my trust in you.
I put my trust in you.
And in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?
Wow. It asks a question. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. 1 Peter 5:6-7.
I did.
1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him because he cares about you.
All right. Cast all. How many?
All.
Does he know about COVID?
You think yes, he does. Not surprised.
Can he deliver from COVID?
Amen.
Yes. How many of you had COVID? Two of us? Who has Colossians 3:15? Let the peace, let God's peace. John 14:27.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid.
That sounds like a command, doesn't it? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For I'm with you, I will uphold you, I will strengthen you, I will hold you by my righteous right hand. I will hold you. Psalm 23. All right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the word. Lift your hands and let's just praise God for his word. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word is true. Your word is right. Your word can give us the strength that we need. And I thank you for the word tonight. Bless your holy name. Amen. Well, that ought to strengthen you for the night and for tomorrow. All right, we got some blanks to fill out. Okay, we got to check the boxes. All right, how fear works against us, and it does. It does. Fear causes us to doubt ourselves and our abilities. When we get to comparing ourselves with someone else, is that a good thing? If we say, well, I should have, but I was just afraid. Let someone else. But we get to doubting ourselves. I can't do it. Don't call me. And Nicole could say, let somebody else pray. But she was brave.
She did it.
And she was, she just conquered that fear just tonight. And just, so next time you can call on her to pray. And she said, let me pray tonight, Mark. Fear causes, fear causes us to doubt God and others. Fear is a universal thing. And it's something that everybody has fear. It's just whatever you do with it. Fear causes us to miss out on unique opportunities in life and in ministry. If you've ever missed out on an opportunity because you were afraid, I should have, but I was afraid. Oh, I missed a golden opportunity, but it just slipped me. Hindsight. Fear prevents us from connecting in intimacy and depth of relationships with others. Did you have trouble going into starting point? You didn't know anybody in there, going in there with strangers. Where'd you come from?
I'm a Baptist preacher's daughter. That's why I said what I said. I'm allowed to.
Well, I think you're right at home. I think the church is full of Baptist people. How many of you are Baptists?
Well, they actually, in that certain point class that I was in, they asked people to raise their hands if they were from a different denomination. And three-fourths of the class I was in was from the Baptist church.
Yeah. I think the church is full of good Baptist people. Amen. We're glad you came.
We want more.
Absolutely. We're waiting for you. We've got a seat for you. Fear paralyzes us and prevents us from moving forward. Absolutely the truth. Fear is paralyzing and prevents us from doing things for God. Scared to death. All right, biblical heroes and their battles with fear. Moses feared his mission and being God's mouthpiece. I don't think I have enough time we might just take time.
What I would do is I would finish your fill in the blank thing. We don't have to do the group work thing necessarily tonight.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Moses because it's so good. In Exodus 3, We read where Moses, you know, had the experience with the burning bush. And that's where he was running and was at the desert and saw this bush that was on fire but wouldn't be burned up. But that's where God called him. You know, it was first told him to take off his shoes because it was on out there in the desert. He was it was holy ground. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Don't you know that was... You can just imagine what in the world Moses thought when nobody anywhere around and God speaks to him, Moses, Moses. That was verse 4 in chapter 3. And then verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I? Oh, goodness. Fear that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of... that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Call somebody else. I can't. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that that it is I who have sent you when you have brought the people out. Not now, but when you bring them out. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Isaac has sent me to you. This is my name forever, thy name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And so, you know, the story over in the last part of chapter 4, Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent. How about that? I don't know how to speak. Never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Well, what else did he need? But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else. Can you just believe this? Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks, but I didn't call him. I called you, Moses. I know that you, how you speak and how timid you are. And I know that Aaron can speak well, but I didn't call Aaron. But he is already on his way to meet you out here on this desert. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. He was afraid. He was afraid. But God said, all right, but now it's going to take both of you. You're going to be a mouthpiece to Aaron, or Aaron's going to be a mouthpiece for you. And he's going to talk for you, but you're going to tell him what to say. Oh, Moses, that great man feared. So if Moses feared, we're going to have fear too. And we're going to have to conquer it just like Moses did. Gideon feared being discovered and killed by the Midianites. And what a story this is in Judges 6. Judges 6. You got it, Butch? Okay, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak and over. I thought this was interesting. Here this angel just came down and he sat down under this oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash and Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now that was odd. To keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But sir, Gideon said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of the Midianites. And they're killing all of our crops and all of our animals. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Then skip down to verse 36. Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. Now he's going to tempt God. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. Hello. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Well, that didn't, you know, you start doing that, that's not enough. You got to do it one more time. Then Gideon said, don't be angry with me, but let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry, all the ground was covered with dew. Do you think God cares about everything? All of our excuses that we, and he's so mindful to us and so patient with us. Wasn't he patient with Gideon? All right, and then we know what happened. You can skip on over you know how he started out with 30,000 men? Or he went let's just start at chapter 7, verse 1. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Mori. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that their own strength had saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left when 10,000 remained. This fearful time. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go, he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongue like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." Now, what was the difference in them? If they knelt down to drink, their head was going to be down, right? And they couldn't see the enemy. If they lapped like a dog, then their head was up. All right, the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept 3,000 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below in the valley during the night. And do you know this story? Does everybody know this story? Does anybody not know this story? Everybody knows it. All right. You know the dream that this guy had of the Midianites down there. Well, let's go ahead and read it. It's better than I can tell it. Now the Midian lay below in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purim and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purim, his servant, went down to the outpost of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand of the sea. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." A loaf of bread hit the tent and broke it to pieces. His tent responded, "This can be none other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." And so when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men, he was so smart, wasn't he? Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. Do what I do. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout For the Lord and for Gideon. So now that's all they're gonna have to do is crack their torches and holler. That's all they're gonna have. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hand and holding it in their right hand, the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. What a battle. But there was fear associated with it. He started with enough men, but look what he ended up with. This is not enough, God. Look at all, thousand millions of them all over. But God said, it's not by might, and it's not by power. It's by my spirit. So if we just know that there's fear associated, but we must conquer fear. Fear that's of the devil, we must conquer it. Peter feared capture by the Romans and the Jewish Pharisees. Peter was there at the denial of Jesus and saw how they were treating him, and he got afraid. And the little maid, you know, she said, your language is telling me that you are one of them. And he said, I never knew him. No, I don't know him. But fear gripped Peter that night when Jesus was being, when he was being captured by the Romans, and he was very, very afraid, and he denied God, Jesus. But what did Jesus do when he arose? Tell Peter that I have arisen. The very first one. And then he goes on, you know, with that incident. Peter, how many do you love? Do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know. You know the story. The Israelites feared going without their basic needs being met in the desert. Numbers 11:4, that's all about that. We're sick of this manna. 10 of the 12 spies sent to explore Canaan, the promised land, feared failure. Joshua and Caleb versus the other 10 spies. Notice the correlation between how they felt with how they thought others saw them. Numbers 13:33 said, we saw Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak and Nephilim. We felt as small as grasshoppers, and that's how we must have looked to them. They felt like they were as small as grasshoppers among those, and they said that's the way that we think of ourselves and the way they think about us. God asks us always to take the first step, step out in faith, and he's going to meet us. Amen? Identify the three sources of your the true sources of your fear. That's the bottom line. What are you afraid of? Try to get to the bottom of why you are afraid. Identify where the fear is coming from. Is it, like we said, from God or from the devil? Unmask the villain. Where is the fear coming from? What is behind the fear? Can you identify what you're afraid of? So that, no, I'm just afraid. Well, if you can or can't, tell it God. Talk to God about it. He can deliver you from that fear. Number two, face your fears. Running from them gives them strength. Ignoring them keeps you stagnant and unmoving. Facing them weakens them.
Sister Ann, another thing is your fear. It robs you from opportunities of things that God is wanting for you because of the fear. There's so much that, and that's why we got to step up and say. But fear can rob you of great opportunities that God has for you.
Yes. Those opportunities that God has already made for you. And he will be with you. And so you need to find out what those are and find out what that fear is and overcome it. And you're going to be an overcomer. That's the way. How are you an overcomer? You're going to have to overcome something. So, all right. Facing them weakens them. I think the first thing we have to do is figure out what's keeping us out of the arena. What's the fear? Where and why do you want to be braver? Then we have to figure out how we're currently protecting ourselves from vulnerability. What if I make a fool of myself? You know, what if? But we can't live a life of what ifs. What is our armor? Perfectionism, intellectualizing, cynicism, numbing, control. That's where I started. It's not an easy walk into that arena, but it's where we come alive. It's where Breen Brown, a researcher, had to say. This is good, too. When it comes to fear, psychologist Noam Spencer said, the only way out is through. And it's true. One of the most effective ways to banish fear is to repeatedly force yourself to face what you're afraid of. Research has found that this repeated exposure lowers the psychological fear response until it is more manageable or in some cases gone. So that is true. That's a good word. Give practical examples of some fears we have and what facing them looks like. How about public speaking? Any of you? Scared to death to get up in front of people.
That's not being in front of people. It's trying to explain something or talk about a topic or subject to people who are more wise than I am. They know better than I do, so why am I trying to tell them?
Yeah. Yep, that's what you're telling yourself.
But you're the one that has an experience that they don't have.
Yeah.
And a lot of times your experience is what they need to move them forward.
Yeah. They need...
They
need your testimony, need your story.
Going through college and doing reports is different than public speaking to somebody, because God can use you even if you don't think you know enough to talk to so-and-so about it, because they've been in Christ longer. A child can walk up to an 80-year-old Christian person and be like, God said this to me today, or this is what I learned in Bible study today, and that could speak to that person. But like being in college and doing a report out loud, you're talking to a professor. That professor has spent years and years and years learning the subject you're teaching, and they're judging you on what you learned. But in the Christian faith, nobody's going to judge you for spreading your knowledge. That's what we want to do. We want to go out and spread the word and talk to people. And your testimony could brighten someone's day to the point where they want to start spreading their testimony.
So understand that.
And that's the most powerful, is tell what you have been through, how you overcame, what you did when you went through that thing. We're just about through. I think we're out of time. Is anyone fear of someone who hurt you in the past?
I think almost everybody
has that. Yes. Lies the enemy has said about you. You need to prove those wrong. Replace, number three, replace the fears, and ultimately the lies, with faith and the truth of what God says about himself, you, and your situation. Oh my goodness, we don't have time to do the group work.
I would finish the last four points.
Four, do four?
And then I'll address the group work when we get back up there.
Okay. Yes, I was going to have you to Google 1, 2, and 3 and answer those, and that would have been good. I wish we would have had time. But okay, number four, allow God to heal the sources of your fear. Turn it over to God because he cares. Remember all the scriptures that we read. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You remember, he's going to lead us by his right hand. 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. If we know the perfect love of Jesus for us, how can we fear? God loves us perfectly. It doesn't matter what we've done, how many times we fail, and how many times we said, I was afraid. He loves us. We know the perfect love of Jesus. He loves us so much. He loves you, and he knows what's going on in your mind, and he wants you to relieve. He wants to relieve your mind. He wants to relieve your heart of all of that pressure that you're living under. God wants to heal your fears. Give it to him. And he will do that. Leave it all at the altar. Find an altar of prayer and give it to him. Talk to him about your fear and let him take it from you. Call upon me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know of. But you've got to call. You've got to open your mouth and call. Help. Number five, choose to live a life of faith and great courage. Is that our last blank to fill in? Okay. We belong to him. He's for us, not against us. He is our shield and strong tower, our perfect father. Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
You know, guys, I have felt like we had a fire hose going tonight with the amount of knowledge. What wisdom Sister Ann has had in over the years of ministry. You know, you think of the what wisdom we can just gather from her. You know what I mean? And I thank you, Sister Ann. You did a great job tonight. You know, we are so blessed in our church to have the wisdom and have the experience. And even as you gather on in the years, she's still up preaching to us, and I just love it. You know, I think that's wonderful, you know. We didn't do the group work. What I would encourage you all to do is go back to the group work page on that. Read the questions about what God says about himself in the Word, what he says about you in the Word, what he says about any struggles, and answer those and just go through those, okay? And take the time to do that this week during your time. Also, if you go to your last page, Faith in Action, of course, read your weekly scriptures so that we don't forget that. And those of you that are, and I believe everyone's doing the Live Dead Journal, make sure you stay on task on that. Okay, if you've missed a couple days, just catch up. All right, there's time to catch up. There's time to start any time.
You have books here?
I've got books. If you need a book, I've got those, and they're $8, and I can give you one. So, all righty. And then your Faith in Action is the very last page of each week that we have. That's your homework for this week. You know, read the chapters assigned for week 7 in the reading plan, and then try to pick a verse to memorize this week. So, y'all, I appreciate your time. Sister Ann, once again, thank you for your time. You know, we need to have you back again.
Let me pray.
Okay, and Sister Ann's going to pray for us.
Oh, Father God, I've just felt your presence here tonight, and I'm so grateful. And I pray that this spirit will linger in the hearts of everyone that's here tonight. May they be encouraged. May they be strengthened. And may they be brave and eager to step out and work for God. Do the things that they're afraid to do. Help them, God, to step out. I pray for the courage that you would give them. And I'm just praying for what you're going to do. And I just thank you for the moving of the Spirit, that each of them that is in the Spirit tonight, that it will go with them home, and they will rest in the Word of God that we've shared tonight. May it come back into their memories and help them to be overcomers. If they're fearful tonight, I pray that you would give them the courage to get over, let you heal that fear, deliver them from that fear. In Jesus' name, let it drop. In Jesus' name, let them know freedom without fear, with faith overcoming the fear that they have. And I pray for it in the name of the Lord Jesus, the strong Son of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.